I'd like you to turn your Bibles to Exodus 34. Exodus 34. And in this chapter, the main theme of Exodus 34 is God's revelation of His great and holy name to Moses, and at the same time to renew His covenant with Israel, His people. The name of God denotes His divine characters and nature, as we see in chapter 34, verse 6 and 7. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. And so here in this chapter, we learn from Moses how Christian believers ought to respond to God's attribute, to God's holy character, with humility, with humble adoration and praise to God, the God of the Bible, the Creator of heaven and earth. When we come before God, brethren, in worship, let us fill our mouths with praises and focus our minds upon who God is and not upon ourselves and not even upon our own experiences. But for today's study, our subject I'd like to direct your thoughts to is a foretaste of the saints' glorification. A foretaste of the saints' glorification in our key text is from verses 29 to 35. And it came to pass, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, and when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not, or know not, or do not know, that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh or near him. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him, and Moses talked with them. And afterwards all the children of Israel came nigh. He gave them in commandments all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. Until Moses had done speaking with them, he put on a veil on his face. And when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and spake unto the children of Israel that which he was commanded. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with God. We are told here in verse 28 before verse 29 that Moses fasted 40 days and 40 nights while up in Mount Sinai with the Lord. And after that 40 days and 40 nights without food, you would think that Moses must have in great hunger. And how is it that his face can shine with brightness? And so we see here that the Lord whom Moses worshipped and served made his face shine with brightness, with an unusual luster. God so sustained his servant that his long and repeated fasting, during which he did not even drink water, did no harm to his physical constitution. And Moses himself did not know about this at that time, that his face was shining. But he did know it afterwards, and he has recorded this himself in this chapter. He gives in detail the fact of that brightness of his own face and how others were struck, surprised, perhaps, in fact, afraid, and were afraid to approach him. And so you can be assured that this record was not made without a reason. For Moses writes himself, or rather about himself, in great humility of this, of the Spirit. This was under divine direction that he put it on record concerning what the Lord has done to him during his 40 days and 40 nights up in the mount with God. And therefore, I'm quite sure that this record is for our profit. And this is one reason why I would like to consider this passage or this text with you. However, I'm afraid that God would not grant to make our face, those of us who are Christian believers, to make our face shine like that of Moses. And I think the main reason is that lest we should grow too proud after what the Lord will do to us like he did to Moses. So see here, brethren, that it needs a very meek and lowly spirit to bear that brilliance of God. The Bible tells us only two men whose faces shone, and both were very meek, very humble. The one is Moses here in the Old Testament, and the other is Stephen in the New Testament, whose last words prove his meekness, proves his humility. For when the Jews were stoning him, he prayed, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." In Acts chapter 7 verse 60. But though God may not repeat this act again, like he did to Moses, yet, brethren, there are important and comforting lessons for us to learn from this text. Let us learn by it, and let us pray through his Holy Spirit that God will cause our face to shine today, as we read of the shining face of Moses. And so with this, my introduction, I shall now proceed to my subject. Here is Moses with an unusual glory upon his countenance or upon his face. And we begin our first head with a question. How did this glory came about? The skin of Moses' face shone. How did this came to be so? I answer, first, it was a reflection of the glory which Moses had seen when he was with God in the holy mountain. It was the result of that partly answered prayer. What prayer? Moses did pray in Exodus 33, verse 18, if you turn back. I beseech thee, show me thy glory. So this shining upon Moses' face is a part answer to that prayer. God could not at that time grant unto Moses or grant his prayer in its fullness, for Moses was not capable of that vision, for we read that God told him, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. Exodus 33, verse 20. And so, it is only a part answer to Moses' prayer. However, we praise and thank God that Moses' prayer was answered in full, finally, ultimately, when? Some 1400 years later. The glory of God is not only to be seen in the glory of God is only to be seen, rather, in the face of His only begotten beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For about some 1400 years later, Moses was given, in some sense, or rather, his prayer was answered in full. And it was on that, the top of that Mount Tabor, there Moses what? Saw the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, if you remember the account, transfigured. And his prayer was there and then answered to its utmost bounds. In the transfiguration, God showed to Moses his full glory, for he was then made able to see or to behold it. Now coming back to this account, at the time of Mount Sinai, Moses, or rather though Moses could not see the full glory of Jehovah, yet God in his mercy allowed him, permit him to see enough to make an impression upon him of such a kind. Even that glimpse to make that impression upon him of such a kind that the skin of his face shone literally. Literally. God is light, and they that look upon him are enlightened and reflect light around them. God speaks with Moses face to face, as a man speaks with his friend. How do we know? Exodus 33 verse 11. And this made his countenance glow. The face of Moses was to God what the moon is to the sun. A saint, a Christian, shines on fellow man when God has shone on him. We are changed, Paul says. We are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 3:18. So, brethren, do you desire to shine in the valley? Do you desire to be changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. If you do, there are certain steps to take. First, go up the mount and commune with your God, the God of the Bible, the Creator of heaven and earth. Go up regularly as Christian believers to commune with God, just as Moses did. Would you, friends, brethren, as a Christian, if you are one, shine with such superior radiance like that of Moses? If you would so desire such radiance, let this be your fervent prayer. Let this be your fervent prayer. Pray like this: Lord, make your face to shine upon your servant. If the Lord lift upon you the light of his countenance, you can be assured, as God's children, there will be no lack of light in your countenance. In God's light, you shall give light. In God's light, you shall be the light of the world for his testimony. The second answer to this question: how did this glory came about on Moses' face? The second answer is this: it was the result of fellowship with God. It was the result of fellowship with God. I have no doubt at all that Moses walked faithfully with God daily, day by day, as a true believer. For he spent two periods of 40 days each in quiet, solitary fellowship with God. Moses was alone with God 40 days. Not only this time, this record here is the second time, or the second of the 40 days and nights. If you go back to the previous chapter, in I think Exodus 19 or 20, that was the first time when God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. Down there, that was the first 40 days that Moses spent with the Lord. And so, brethren, let us learn this from Moses, that prolonged or protracted fellowship brings a nearness to God, which brief, cursory communion cannot attain. You and I, if we spend very little time, effort and energy in fellowship and in communion with God, do not expect to have that brilliance, that radiance of life and power of the Holy Spirit on your face. What must be the effect of such wholehearted, undisturbed fellowship with God? I repeat the question. What must be the effect of such wholehearted, undisturbed fellowship with God? I submit to you, brethren, that Moses had forgotten the world. He cast the world aside, except when he needed or he pleaded for the people in an agony of prayer, which we read in this passage. No interest, either personal or family, disturbed his communion with his God. He was oblivious of everything else but Jehovah, his Creator, his God. You want that radiance, that brightness in your life as a Christian? There's no other way. You and I need to sacrifice those time, those effort, to put aside everything else, to spend that time in quiet solitude, meditation and reflection of God's word, and in prayer with him, to praise him, to thank him, to worship him. As we reflect on this point, we must ask, brethren, and once again we ought or we need to be honest with ourselves, have we not lost a great deal by so seldom separating ourselves apart from the world? So little seeking continuously, absorbing fellowship with the Most High God, our Creator. We must confess, isn't it, that we have neglected this spiritual exercise. We living in, particularly in city lives, we are so overwhelmingly occupied with so many things, though necessary, but yet we are so caught up that we forfeit ourselves such fellowship and communion with our Savior, the Lord Jesus. I'm sure we try, but oftentimes our effort is so little, so weak. We snatch a hasty minute of prayer here and there. We afford a quick cursory reading of our Bible, and we think we have done well and satisfied our conscience that we have our devotion, or we call it in our modern term, I have done my quiet time. Oh brethren, how much we have forfeited such privileges God has granted to us. You see, brethren and friends, there is no limit. There is no limit to the power we might obtain if we follow in Moses' step to draw near to God. Yes, though our faces may not be lighted up with splendor like that of Moses, yet if we follow in the footsteps of Moses to make that kind of sacrifices, to spend time and effort in quiet fellowship with God and communion with him, yet our lives would shine, though our lives may not shine exactly like that of Moses. Our characters as Christians would become more pure and transparent. Our whole spirit would be so heavenly that the people around us would regard us with wonder or amazement, the brightness of our soul, the light of our testimony. And so you see, the face of Moses shone because he had long looked upon the face of God in intimate fellowship and communion. For our second point, we also ask the next question. What is the meaning of this glory on Moses' face? This brightness on his face, what did this brightness, this radiance signify? Very briefly, it means this: God's special favor for Moses. How do we know? God seems to say, this man is mine. He is the one I have chosen. I have chosen him above others. Not because of anything special in himself. There's nothing special about Moses. He is like us, flesh and blood, sinner. But God specially honor Moses by putting a measure of his own glory upon him. And the token thereof shines in Moses' face. Besides special favor for Moses, this signifies also God's special favor for the Israelites. God's special favor upon his chosen people. If they could but have understood it, they would not have been afraid of Moses. But conscience made them frightful. God, in effect, is saying to them, by the shining of the face of Moses, I have had favor upon you, for I have accepted your intercessor. Moses is a type of Christ. Moses interceded for the people. Because you read in verse 8 and 9, and Moses made haste and bowed his face and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. And he said, if now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us, for it is a stiff-necked people. Pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thy inheritance. Notice that prayer. He did not say, pardon their iniquity. Moses identified himself together with God's people, that they have all together sinned against God, being a stiff-necked people. And God right now is telling the people, so-called indirectly through Moses, that I have favored upon Moses, which is actually a special favor upon the children of Israel, because I have accepted the intercessory prayer of Moses on your behalf. My servant Moses has pleaded for your life, and in proof that I have accepted him, will spare you. I have written your pardon across his shining countenance. Beloved, favor to the Lord Jesus is favor to us, those who are his adopted children. I repeat, favor to the Lord Jesus Christ is favor to us who are Christian believers in the Lord. When you read the verse that says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, in the New Testament, what should be your response? Your response should be, Lord, I rejoice. I give thanks and praise thee, that you are well pleased with me in Christ Jesus, your son.
When God looks on the face of his anointed one, his son, he looks with favor upon us who turn to him in Christ.
So can you see right now the Lord's grace upon you if you are a true Christian believer?
This brightness on the face of Moses was also God's witness to his commission, to Moses' commission. For God has sent him, for he had glorified him. The people could not, the Israelite well in no doubt knew, understood that Moses is commissioned or appointed by God to be their leader by the shining of his face. Beams of light seems to rise from Moses' face. It is like a halo of glory surrounded that solemn countenance, and the people could not deny it, but perceive and see and behold that this man on whom God had looked and appointed to be their leader. Moreover, it was not only a witness to Moses' office, but it was also an increase of his power. The people were overawed by this strange light from his face. They dare, indeed, we read later on, if you have not read it, in the later chapter, they dare even to murmur against Moses even after seeing this brilliance on his face. They dare even to murmur against God and against God, a servant. But still, at that time, and you see for yourself how sinful and how depraved and how unthankful these people is, that experience of seeing Moses' face, of knowing God has appointed him through that experience, and yet you see later chapter, they have that audacity to continue in their sinning against God, their rebellion against God. And so therefore, just a side note, therefore, does it not prove that all these so-called charismatic visions, this miraculous encounter, so to speak, that the charismatic or the Pentecostal churches that promotes, do you not see those amazing supernatural happening? Manna fell from heaven, opening up of the Red Sea, parting of the Jordan River, all those are supernatural acts. But just go back to that opening up of the parting of the Red Sea. How many of that came out from Egypt, seeing all this, tasted all the miracles, were they moved and convicted by all this miraculous act or events and believe in God? Only two men, Joshua and Caleb, entered the promised land. So you see, my dear friends, all these visions and all these miracles and all this miraculous healing, it is not sufficient. Even if it is true, it is not sufficient to convict and to convert a sinner to to Christ. And so you see here too. But yet at the same time, my point here is that yes, they went on after this event, seeing this supernatural light on Moses. They complain, they murmur, but this brightness gave the prophet Moses authority with them. And it made them tremble to some extent. They would not dare to contradict one who looked on them with such a face of glory. His speech, Moses' speech, was as a flame of fire because his face was on a blaze. However, this is not so important. The key meaning, of this brightness of Moses is to show this. And this is important as compared to all the various points that I mentioned, is to show us that there is a great glory about the law of God. It has a glory all of its own, from its spirituality, its holiness, its perfectness, its justice, its immutability, its power over the human conscience, and so forth. It has eminent glory because it has been ordained of God Himself, and therefore it stands as the sacred rule of the universe, the law of God. Now, we know that the purpose of the law for righteousness is Christ, the Lord Jesus. The law is given to us sinners to point us to Christ, to drive us to Christ, to be our schoolmaster, as Paul says in Galatians, to whip us to Christ, to convince us of our need of Jesus as our Savior, and to shut us out from every other hope but that which begins and ends with Christ. The glory of the law of God is Christ. The law is overlaid with the glory of Christ as the face of Moses was covered with light. And this is the deepest and innermost meaning of the sacred light which glowed upon the skin of the face of Moses. And finally, we end with a third question. Why did Moses put on a veil on his face? Which is an interesting point. Why did Moses put on a veil on his face? Having this brightness, I mean, if you have this brightness, if I have this brightness, why would you hide it? If the Lord should shine upon you in that sense. And I suggest this. In part, it is due to the natural meekness of Moses that led him to do so. It was his natural meekness that led Moses to put on the veil. He did not aspire to be the leader of the Israelites. If you go back to read the beginning account, when he left Egypt, the courts of Egypt, and went to be a shepherd, to be a nobody, he has no desire and no plan to be the leader or the prime minister of Israel. He never wished to be prominent. But the Lord put great pressure upon him in the desert and drove him to be king in Israel. He had no ambition to be number one. Though made to be as God to Pharaoh, Moses never exalted himself in the Egyptian court. Among the Israelites, his own people. He did not monopolize his power, but he gladly yielded to the elders of Israel. The chosen elders, he apportioned to them his authority. The man Moses was very meek indeed. And so to hide the brightness of his face was an act of humility, for he shunned from public eyes. And so let us learn from Moses that we should do well to possess the grace of humility, and we should constantly be praying that the Holy Spirit will do this work in us to help us cultivate this grace of humility. But the chief reason I submit to you why Moses veiled his face is this. It was a judicial symbol. And this is important. It was a judicial symbol. It set forth the sentence of God upon his rebellious people, the Israelites. The Lord God, by this token, as good as said, you are so rebellious, so stiff-necked, so given to your idolatry, so stubborn to believe, that henceforth, from now on, you shall not see the brightness of my glory in the dispensation of the law in which you live. Moses shall veil his face because the veil is upon your hearts. And I think this is the chief reason. Brethren, it is a very dreadful thing when God gives up men and women to judicial blindness. Do you understand what it means by to be given up to judicial blindness? And that is when God permits that veil, spiritually speaking, which you have woven, it is your own doing by your unbelief and rejection, that finally, as you persist in your unbelief, rejecting the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, rejecting the grace of God, that God finally gives you over to your own spiritual blindness. This is what it meant, judicial blindness. That seeing, you might not see, and hearing, you might not understand, because this is mentioned in Luke chapter 8, verse 10. That God permit that veil of blindness to cover you, that you will not come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, because you continue and persist in your unbelief, in rejecting the gospel. That veil was literally on Moses' face, but spiritually it was on the hearts of the Israelites. Henceforth, they will not to see, because they had not wished to see. They rebelliously refused to see. So say, well, since you persist and you do not want to, I shall give it over. God, as we call it, withdrew his restraining hand and allow you to go your way to your own devices and to your own self-destruction, as we read in Romans chapter 1. He that willfully shut his or her eyes will find that God takes away his or her sight. If you refuse to understand, justice will make you foolish. The shadow of destruction is insensibility. The eyes are blindfolded before the fatal barrage is fired. And so this is a practical warning for every one of us to take heed. Do we not see? Do we not see? Have we not observe that there are so many people around us whose foolish hearts are blinded so that the light of glory of God in the face of Christ is veiled from them? Are not many suffering from veiled hearts? Here is the glorious gospel of the blessed Lord presented to you. You have heard us say what a wonderful and amazing gospel it is. We have been overjoyed to share this gospel with you, but you feel no enthusiasm, which means the gospel is veiled to you. You have heard a sermon on some grand doctrine, particularly the doctrine of salvation, of God's grace. You see for yourself Christian believers leaping for joy, but for you, you responded with utter indifference. And that means the veil is over your eyes. And this is a sad omen of a lost estate. The veil is on your heart and your soul is in darkness, which may be felt. Am I not speaking the truth about many around us? Oh dear friends, when you hear about Christ and do not desire Him, it doesn't move your heart, no response from you, then the conclusion is you must be blinded. When you hear the glorious gospel of the blessed Lord Jesus and it does not attract you, does not charm you, or move your heart, conclusion is the veil is on your hearts. Oh, that you will turn to the Lord. For when you do turn to the Lord Jesus, that veil shall be taken away from you immediately. Yes, may God the Holy Spirit would come and turn you by His mighty power. May the love of God constrain you to seek the Lord today. Then shall the veil be taken away, and then you shall see the beauty of the Lord Jesus in His salvation. Bear with me. Here is a little prayer for you. Use it often. Pray like this, with the word of Scripture. Open thou my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. The wondrous things are in the law of God, and may you behold them. The Holy Spirit must take the veil away from you and remove the scales from your eyes, and then you will see, but not till then. And this is why Moses wore the veil, as a testimony that God has given them over to judicial blindness because they refuse to know His will. Let us pray that the Lord will have mercy upon us, that He will not deal with all of us here in this place who have heard the gospel today. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this account, this record, this very unique event in the life of Moses, which is a important spiritual lesson for us, the Christian believers. And so we pray, Heavenly Father, indeed, that Thou will help us to seek Thee diligently, though we may not have or be granted the radiance and the brilliance of light which You have put on Moses' face. But yet we are able, and it is real, it is possible for every Christian believer to pray and to seek
for your Holy Spirit to work in us, to make us indeed to shine as light of the world and salt of the earth for thy glory, for the testimony of the Lord Jesus. So help us, we pray, in this new week. And we pray that your Holy Spirit will once again begin this work in us, that for the remaining days of our pilgrimage here, that we may truly shine forth as light for our Lord Jesus, as his witnesses. Here is our prayer. In Jesus' name, Amen.